Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Samech Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is only Zechnish Maslibe Gabriela Bashmol. We're in Samech Dalam et Aleph for the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Misha Amar Lo. Sorry. Misha Amar Bishas Misoso Yeshli Banim Neman Yeshli Achim Eino Neman. So before he dies, so he's got some information that he's been holding on to for some time now, and now he is unloading this information on his wife. So if he says Yeshli Banim, so he says I have children, so that he's believed, and Yeshli Achim. But if he says that I have brothers that you never knew about, Eino Neman, he's not going to be believed. Obviously, over here, by disclosing this kind of information, what he's trying to do is either protector or obligator from the mitzvah of Yibum. Mitzvah of Yibum, as we've discussed time and again, mitzvah of Yibum can turn into sometimes an awkward scenario in which she now is going to be quasi-married to a man that she had really no say in the matter, no choice in the matter. It's a brother-in-law. And so her dying husband understands this and realizes this, and sometimes is going to put her into a situation where she's chayiving Yibum, and sometimes he's going to try to extract her from that, depending on how good a guy he is. But without judging right now, the Mishnah's point over here is that if he tells her that before he dies, you know, let me be honest with you, I know we didn't have children, and I know you think you have the mitzvah of Yibum, but I had children from a previous marriage, okay? It's so funny. It's like some news that could be viewed as bad, and meanwhile, I'm telling you it's good news. It's good. Because now it comes out that you don't have the mitzvah of Yibum, you're fine. So that the Mishnah says Naaman. And if he says to her, look, I never told you this, but I have a brother, and so you thought that as I was going to die, you were going to be free, you're just a widow, and you can marry whoever you want. So now I got unfortunate news for you, and that is that I have a brother. And he tells her who it is, and so Eino Neman is not believed. So, Alma, what is the obvious deduction from the Mishnah? The Gemara starts off Neman lahatir vein Neman lesser. So it sounds like the obvious deduction from the Mishnah is it's just a question of which way we're going. If he's creating heter for her, so we believe him. If he's creating issur for her, we don't believe him. So Neman mas isn't the loker Rabbi Nasa. Now that's fine. However, as we're going to see in just a moment, we have a brisa, and the brisa is going to bring down a machlokus. And it's going to be that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. We would like to be as inclusive as possible. We would like the Mishnah to fit into every Shita. But as we're going to see in just a moment, it's going to be difficult to try to fit in the Shita to the Mishnah into the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. The Gemara says, let's see this. Inside the Tanya, we learned the Brisa. B'shas Kiddushin Amar Yesh Libanim. B'shas Mita Misa Amar Ein Libanim. So here in this Brisa, the case is a little bit different. He's flip-flopping. So in the beginning of the marriage, he says, you know, I'm going to marry you, and just know I have children from a previous marriage. And again, he's saying that as a good thing. If in the event that I die, you won't have any Yibum consideration. Don't worry. But then as he dies, he says to her, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not true. I didn't have children. So he flip-flop. So b'shas kiddush namar ein li achim, b'shas misa amar yesh li achim. So let's do another flip-flop. At the time when they got married, he promised her that he didn't have brothers, so you have nothing to worry about. I'm the only boy in the family. So you won't have any Yibum problems. And then as he's dying, he says to her, okay, let's be honest with each other. It's not true. I have a brother. Okay, I didn't. Whatever. Okay, I have one. So neman lahatir neman lesser divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that if it's a question of creating heter, that's fine. Then he's neman. If it's a question of creating iser, like in the latter case that we just discussed, so then he's not. Then it's not good, and he's not going to be believed. Okay, that is the opinion of Rebbe. So if we pause right here in the brisa, Rebbe is a perfect parallel to our Mishnah. Now it also happens to work out because the grand editor of the Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. But that in of itself is not compelling because we've seen time and again throughout Chas that we have a Mishnah and the Mishnah does not, even though Rebbe has an opinion on the matter, Rebbe's not going to put his minority opinion into the Mishnah. But it works out here well. Rebbe in the Braisa is really consistent with our Mishnah. But that's not the hurdle that we're trying to overcome. It's the next opinion in the Braisa. Rebbe Nassan Omer, Af Neman Lesor. Rebbe Nassan's of the opinion that his credibility can create Isser as much as it can create heter. And so now what comes out is that Rabbi Nassan and our Mishnah seem to be at odds with one another. Now that could easily just simply be the conclusion, but the Gemara is going to try to be inclusive and have the Mishnah come out like Rabbi Nassan as well. Amar Rav Shani Hasim Kevin Debishas Misa Kahadar Be Ema Kushta Kama. So the Gemara says, well, maybe in the case of the of the Braisa. Look, he's saying it right before he dies. You know, before you die, so you start. You want a good conscience. You don't want to. You don't want to meet your maker with a lie in your hands. And it's not just a lie, by the way. It's going to be a perpetual lie because she's going to be living the rest of her life under that lie, under that misconception. So the Gemara is making the argument now. Well, maybe that's why in the Braisa he's going to be believed according to Rabbi Nassan, both for Heter and for Isser. So Amalei Abaye v'lav called the Kenu. So Abaye says, I don't understand. Hasha mahasam de kamar lele dibur amar kushta kamar masifsin lo kamar lele dibur lo kol shekain. Look, in the Braisa, the guy was flip flopping. He started off by saying one thing, and then he went and said another thing. And there the argument is, well, he's telling the truth now because he's about to die. In our Mishnah, he's not even flip-flopping. The Mishnah, he didn't say anything to begin with. Now before he dies, he's making a statement. If you're ready to believe the guy in the Braisa, you for sure should be ready to believe the guy in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, there's no flip-flopping. So Elam Rabbi, so the Gemara says, okay, point well taken. Okay, we're going to go about it in another approach. So the Gemara says, we're going to make a contextual difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah is where there's no chazaka whatsoever. We just simply have no information. And we walked in with no assumption. Darmin and Kevin de la Mukhzar Lam Bivnei, Velo Ba'ache, Amar Yeshli Banim Naman, Yeshli Achemin and Naman, Love Kol Kamine de Asole Akule Amma. Look, we had no background information and we had no underlying assumption in the Mishnah. And now, so if there's no underlying assumption, what does she think? She thinks he's a guy. I never heard about brothers. Okay, there are no brothers. I never heard about children. Okay, there are no children. But in other words, the underlying assumption in the Mishnah is that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Now, when he comes on his deathbed and he says, hey, I have children, okay, that's fine. Because what is he really saying? You know, you thought there wasn't a mitzvah of Yibum? I'm just going to validate that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Masha Inkain, if he comes on his deathbed and he says, I have brothers, well, wait one second. We thought up until now that there was no mitzvah of Yibum, and now he's asserting there is a mitzvah of Yibum. So that's the Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah says he's not going to be believed. Braisa, however, the Braisa is dealing with a slightly different scenario. And that is the following. We're on the top of Samach Dalman Beis. The Muchzak Lam Ba'achiv L'Muchzak Lam Bivnei. The Braisa is talking about a case where people knew that he had brother. That he had a brother. Now, when I say people knew, meaning as Rashi over here says, it's hard to halachically state this, but to the best of our ability, there's just basically a default assumption, an underlying assumption. Rashi, the top Rashi in the Amma, Veloshiyesh Edim Davar, Ela Chazaka Ba'amakach. There's no witnesses over here. It's just a general assumption. Hey, look, he's got a brother. So, D'muchzak Lam Ba'achiv Lo Kuv V'lumuchzak Lam Bivnei. Now, so when he marries her, based on the chazaka, so now what is she thinking? There's a chance that there's going to be a mitzvah and a responsibility of Yibum. Because I've heard, everyone's heard, that he's got a brother. And also, he has no children. Now, Darmina Mali Lashakir. So now, he makes that first statement when they get married. Now, when he makes that first statement when they get married, now, right now, he has no motivation to lie. Meaning, what would be the motivation to lie right now? He wants to save her from Yibum, as Rashi explains. If he wants to save her from Yibum, so that could be solved very easily by, right before he dies, just simply handing her a get. Meaning, we're not talking about unexpected death. We're talking about he knows that he's going to die. So if the only issue over here is to save her from the mitzvah of Yibum, so then he could just simply hand her a get, and that would be it, and then there wouldn't be a problem of Yibum. So really now, there's this argument of, right now in his first statement, he has really no motivation to lie, and so therefore it's what the Gemara refers to as Mali Shakir. So my Kamar Lemiftere Miyaba Masi Amar Patron La Bergita. I'm sorry, it's not Rashi, it's the Gemara. So if what we're talking about over here is just to excuse his wife from Yibum, so he could just simply write again. So now, where do we stand right now? So this part's a little bit complicated, but let's follow the timeline. The timeline is that as they get married, there's a chazaka. The chazaka is that he has brothers and he does not have children. That's a chazaka. Again, it's not edus, it's not a formal edus. It's what quote unquote people know. Then as they get married, so now he says to her, now again, right now the assumption is that there's a mitzvah of Yibam. And he says to her something along the lines of, I have a brother. Well, then he's just substantiating what everybody knows. Let's say he says, I have children. So now he says he has children. He has no motivation to lie. Because if all he's trying to do is just simply exempt her from the mitzvah of Yibam, he could write her a get. So now that statement is reinforced with an argument of he really has no motivation to lie. Ma'ali l'shaker. And now his credibility is ratcheted up just a little bit, and now the only issue amongst the Tanayim is how much credibility is extended because of this argument of Ma'ali l'shaker. Rebbe Zavar Ma'ali l'shaker ki Edim Dami. Now Rebbe's of the opinion that Ma'ali l'shaker is as good as Edim. Now that's difficult to understand. It's not Edim, it's not an objective testimony. It's he saying something about himself. The only thing he's got going is that he's got no motivation to lie. But Rebbe's opinion is that Ma'ali l'shaker takes a statement and makes it equivalent as if two witnesses were to make that statement. V'asi edim akri chazaka. Now, when you have a chazaka, but you have two witnesses now going against the two witnesses are going to trump the chazaka. And so now his statement of, I have children, is a valid statement halachically, legally, from a credibility standpoint. It's like witnesses saying it. Rabbi Nathan Savar, Ma'ali l'shaker ki chazaka dami. Rabbi Nathan, on the other hand, says no. Ma'ali l'shaker is basically as good as a chazaka. So lo asi chazak v'akre chazaka lagamre. And so therefore, when he made his first statement, when they first got married, of I have children, so that's not going to uproot the original chazaka. It'll just simply contest the original chazaka. But later in life, when he's about to die and he says, let me be honest with you, I don't have children, so the original chazaka is still there, which is that he had children, followed then by an open admission at the end of his life, I did have children, and so therefore the two can get together and create this obligation now of Yibum when he dies. Mashenkin, according to Rebbe, no. Because according to Rebbe, this argument of Ma'ali l'shaker is tantamount to Edim, so at the beginning of the marriage, when he said, I do have children, that totally undoes the chazaka, and so now there's Edus that he has children. What about the fact that he says at the end of his life, I don't have children? Well, you can't do that now. Because you can't, once there's a condition of Heter, you can't change it at the end in order to turn that into Issa. Okay, so that is the machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan in terms of how good, how powerful a statement is it at the beginning of the marriage when he says something like, I have children, and bolstered by this argument of Ma'ali l'shaker, well, there's no motivation to lie. Is it like Edom, or is it just simply like a chazaka? That's the machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan. And then what comes out from all this is that you go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where there was no chazaka. And because of that, the only thing he can do, and everyone's going to agree, both Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan are going to agree, that the only thing that he can do is he can create Heter, but he cannot create Eser. Adka. HaMekadosh is Bito Stam. A man is Mekadosh his daughter. So, ain't a bogus bechlal. So let's say he's got a bunch of daughters. Some of them are older, some of them are younger. Now remember, right, the basic rules is that the Nara and the Katana are still under his jurisdiction, and he has the ability and the right to marry them off. The older daughters, they're not under his jurisdiction, and he does not have the right to marry them off. The Mishnah over here deals with the following. A man marries off one of his daughters, and he just stam, meaning we don't know which daughter he married off. So in a bogros bechlal, so here's what we do know. It's not going to be one of the bogros, because they're not under his jurisdiction. A man is married two times. Okay, now I know that he could be married to both of them concurrently, but let us deal with the following scenario. He's married to two wives in two different stages of his life. Okay, let's call the two wives Leah and Rachel, Leah being the older one, Rachel being the younger one. And he's got daughters from Leah and he's got daughters from Rachel. Okay, so he's got the older set of girls and the younger set of girls. Now, the Amar Kidashi is Beiti Agadola Ve'en Yodeh Im Gadolos Shabagadolos. And sorry, let me go a little bit slower. The Amar Kidashi is Beiti Agadola. He said, I married off one of my older girls. Okay, so now there's a lot to choose from because Leah's got girls and Rachel's got girls. So the Enio Dam Gedolsha Bagadolos, Gedolsha Bagatanos. So now it could be Leah's oldest, it could be Rachel's oldest. Oh, Katanosha Bagadolos, or it could be Leah's younger ones. Because remember, Leah was his first wife. So all those girls relative to Rachel's girls are all the quote unquote older set. So it could be that when he said older, he meant any one of Leah's girls, even Leah's youngest. She Gedola Mena Gedolosha Bagatanos. Kulan Asuros. According to Reb Meir, since anyone outside of just the baby, any one of them could be labeled the older one, so therefore all of them are possibly going to be married. And according to Rav Meir, the only exception is going to be the baby. She's the only one that was not going to be incorporated in this statement of, I married off one of my older girls. And Rav Yossi, Amar Kula Mutaris Chutz Ben HaGadol Sheb HaGadolos. Now Rav Yossi says, no, if a guy says he married off his oldest girl, now in the English I use oldest, and that's a little bit unfair, because that's a superlative. Oldest. Meaning, in English we have an idea of older versus oldest. Okay, here, however, we're using the language of Gedola, so it's not superlative. It just simply means one of the older ones. But according to Rav Yossi, if he says Gedola, he meant only the oldest. That's the one that he meant. We're going to do this again, round two. Same setup, same scenario. He had two wives, Leah, followed then by Rachel. Girls from Leah, girls from Rachel. And here we're just going to go in the other direction where he says he married off the youngest. Now again, I'm using the English. He married off the Ketana. Okay. Kidashi's bitte ketana ve'yadim ketana shebeketana si ketana shebegedolos. O gedol shebeketana shei ketana mina ketanos shebegedolos. Kulan asuros. They're all going to be prohibited. Chutz mina gedol shebegedolos, except for his oldest girl from his first wife, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's going to be the same exact conclusion. We're just going in the reverse. Rabbi Yossi Amar kulan mutaris chutz mina ketana shebeketanos. And according to Rabbi Yossi, when he says ketana, he meant the youngest. Okay. Obviously, Rav Meir. But we'll get to that later. I don't have to spell that out now. Let's start with the Gemara. Ha ketanus bechlal. Now, in the first case of the Mishnah, we're not two wives. He's got one wife. He's got a bunch of girls, and he said, "I married one of them off." So the bogaros, if you will. Thank you. You live there. I didn't. So they are clearly not in this discussion because he can't marry them off. They're not under his jurisdiction. The younger ones, however, and let's assume right now they're more than one, so they're now possibly married. Now, this is a discussion that we had earlier, and do you remember? A man marries more than one sister at the same time. Now, you can't, obviously. But he gave kedushin for one of the sisters, and he doesn't remember which one. This is a discussion that we had some time ago in the Masechta, and this is the topic of Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia. Well, the problem is that he can't consummate the marriage with either one of the sisters because each one of them may end up being the sister of his wife. And so this is Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia. You'll also remember that this was a machlok between Abai and Rava, whether or not Kedusha Shalonimsu Labia is considered Kedushin or not. This is one of the six times in Shas where we pass on like Abai and not like Rava. And meanwhile, in our Mishnah, effectively what the father is saying is, I married off one of my younger girls to somebody. Well, this is exactly what we discussed. This is Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia. So, Hakatan is Bechlal. Now, the only thing the Mishnah is telling us is that the older ones are out of the discussion, but the younger ones are in the discussion of possibly being married. But isn't this a classic example of Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia? So, Shema Minah, Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia, have a Kedushin. And this would bolster the opinion that even though the marriage cannot be consummated, but the Kedushin is still a valid Kedushin, and this would bode well for Abayi, who says Kedushin Shalonimsu Labia is in fact considered Kedushin. So the Gemara says, Hachad ba my skin, and the Gemara now is just simply deflecting. Kishein Sham Ela Gedola Vikitana. Well, it could be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he only has two daughters, one of them being a Bogeres, and the other one being a Ketana. The Habo Gross Ketani. Now the Mishnah does say in the plural. So my Bogros the Amla. The Gemara says the Mishnah is speaking in generalities, meaning in this particular scenario he's got one older one and one younger one. But generally speaking, the older ones, meaning from any family construct, are going to be excluded because he does not have jurisdiction. So Pshita Bogros my Vidatayu. Now the Gemara says, now if that's what you're telling me, so do you want to explain to me what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is? Because now the Mishnah has absolutely no Chiddush. Mm-hmm. He's got two girls, one being an adult, one being a minor. He said he married off one. Of course it's going to be the minor. Well, who else could it be? And now the Mishnah is not teaching us one novel point. So the Gemara says, Hachem am ha'iskin to shavisa shliach. The Gemara says, well, let's construct a Chiddush in the Mishnah. Maybe the case in the Mishnah is talking about a case where the older daughter set up her father as her shliach. Meaning she's not under his jurisdiction and he cannot marry her off without her consent, but basically she's commissioning him to serve as her agent so that she can get married. Oh, so now the father is empowered to marry off both his daughters, his older and his younger. He's younger because she's under his jurisdiction. The older, because she appointed him as a shliach. So ma'u detema ki mekabel kedushe, adaiti didaka mekabel, kamash malan. Now we have more of a chiddush, because now the question is, well, which one did he marry off? The one he's doing through shlichus, or the one he's doing because he can, because she's a katana. So the Gemara says, "Kamash malon l'shavik inish midid islehana mine va'avid midid islehana mine." Now, what's the compelling argument that he married off his younger daughter? The compelling argument is money, because isn't money always, not always, usually the compelling argument? Meaning, if he marries off his older daughter, where's the money going to go to? To the older daughter. She's an adult. She's going to get the kesef of kedushin. If he marries off his minor daughter, well, he's going to get the money. So the obvious financial benefit is going to lead us to the conclusion that he's marrying off his younger daughter, not his older daughter. So the Gemara says, Milo askin da amale kedushe lach or lecha. So yeah, but maybe the older daughter says to the father, not only am I appointing you as a shlech, but you know what? You keep the money. In other words, I'm just interested in marriage right now. So yes, he has to give kesef kedushin. I know that. I understand that. You keep the money. And so now, if that's true, so now there is no longer a financial incentive to marry off his younger daughter. And now, can't you make an argument that he's marrying off his older daughter? And just intuitively, just from a common sense standpoint, meaning if given the choice between marrying off an older girl versus a younger girl, so I can hear an argument that'd be a motivation to make sure that your older girl gets married. Interesting. The Gemara ends off by saying that there is a mitzvah for a father to marry off his daughter, and while under his jurisdiction, there exists a mitzvah. The Gemara is also saying, and this is interesting, that if once the girl's a bogeres, so there's no longer a mitzvah per se to marry off his daughter. What mitzvah is there to marry off your daughter? So you remember, this took us back to the first parak of the Masechta, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, where we talked about the responsibilities that a father has towards his children. And we said marriage is one of those responsibilities. Now, in terms of the source, so the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Navi. The Gemara quoted a pasuk in Yeshayahu. K'chu nashim v'holidu banim uvanosu k'chu livnechem nashim v'ez benosechem tenu la'anashim. So the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Yeah. Okay. So if back then... Huh?
He says yemayim.
Yirmiyahu? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So back then, I certainly didn't get the sense that the mitzvah of marrying off your sons and your daughters were only when they were minors. And I don't want to belabor this point, but it didn't sound that way from the Gemara earlier. From our Gemara, it certainly sounds like the mitzvah is only, at least for your daughter, is only when she's a minor, not when she's an adult. That's certainly what the sense that you get from the Gemara.
They can't do it themselves, not your fathers.
Oh, right, but the son, you're not, in other words, by the son, you're not, I'm going to belabor the point. By the son, I didn't want to, but, okay, by the son, you're not marrying him off, you are encouraging him to get married. You're, you know, chinuch. You're basically saying, okay, it's time to get married. So you're not marrying him off per se. And I guess by the girl, you can make the argument, which it sounds like what the Gemara is doing exactly that. Well, since you have the ability to marry her off, so that's when there's a mitzvah. But once she's an adult, so there's no mitzvah per se. Okay. Anyway, Mishesh Oshteki Debanos. Okay. Now we go back to the case of the Mishnah, in which he has two wives, Leah and Rachel. Again, he was not married to them concurrently. He was first married to Leah. She's the older. She's the older of the wives, and he had daughters from her. And then he was married to Rachel, and he had daughters with her as well. And then this man, after having daughters from his older and from his younger wife, so basically the older set and the younger set. So now he says, I married off one of the older ones, or he said, I married off one of the younger ones. And we had a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. What does that statement incorporate? All the older ones, or just the oldest one? And the same thing is true by Katana. Was it all the younger ones, or the youngest one? So the Gemara says, Tzricha. Now, first of all, the Mishnah is a little verbose in that we had to give the cases of the oldest and the youngest. Why so? So the Gemara says, De'iyash mina kamaisa b'hachama rab mer dekevin de'ika zutramina lahakidola karila. Gemara says, look, generally speaking, we tend to refer to the older ones as older, as long as someone's younger than them. In other words, right, I'll just talk of my family construct, meaning I only have one baby in my family. Right? Everyone above that is older. So people tend to refer to the older children as older, as long as there's somebody younger. The Gemara says, but maybe in the second case, where he refers to the Ketana, so maybe he would agree to Rav Yossi, there's only one Ketana, there's only one babe in the family. And so maybe he would agree to Rav Yossi that when he says the word Ketana, it's only talking about the youngest. And then obviously, once you have that argument, then you can just turn around and make the argument in the reverse. If all I had was the youngest, or I might have thought that in the case of the older, so then maybe Rav Meir would agree to Rav Yossi. Okay. Other way around. Rav Yossi would agree to Rav Meir. Okay, so therefore, Tzricha, therefore, both cases are necessary. Now, Lameimra, now what's that issue over here now that the Gemara is going to discuss? The core machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Rav Meir says, I married off one of my older girls. And he didn't say which one. And now, according to Rav Meir, it could be any one of the older girls except for the baby. That's rough. Meaning, a man would do that, make a statement, leave it ambiguous, and have it include many girls. And now, keep in mind, according to Rav Meir, all those girls now are in some sort of limbo state until they get a get from the man. That's very difficult. Now, according to Rav Yossi, no. The father, when he said older, he wasn't ambiguous. He meant the oldest. So Rav Yossi is a little bit easier to understand. What's Rav Meir Shita? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Meir is of the opinion that a person will say something even though it reflects ambiguity. And people are okay with that. That's Shita's Rav Meir. And Rav Yossi Savar lo machis inish lesveika. And it comes out that according to Rav Yossi, no, people are not fine with ambiguity. You make a statement, even if it could be ambiguous, it's not. Meaning, if I say older, if I say gedola, I meant one and only one girl, and that would be my oldest. Now, the Gemara says, now, we're going back to Masechta Nedarim, we're going to learn a Mishnah back then, and the truth of the matter is we learned this whole sugya back then as well. And the Gemara Nedarim brings down the following. I make a neder and I put a time limit in terms of when my neder is going to be over, and that will be anoda ad pesach. I made a neder that I'm not going to eat a certain food until pesach, and I say ad pesach. Aser achi agia. Okay, so that means up to but not including pesach. Okay, ad shiyehe pesach. If I my neder says until it is pesach, aser achi yetzei. That's also pretty clear. That means my neder is going to both go up to and include Pesach as well. Ad Penei Pesach. Until the Penei Pesach. Now that's unclear. What does it mean, Ad Penei Pesach? Now, if you will, by the way, just understand the Gemara a little bit better, let's envision, I know this is going to sound a little strange, let's envision that there are 7 days of Pesach, and each one of the days of Pesach is kind of like a sibling. Okay? Meaning that You know that after the first day of Pesach, there's a second day. And after the second day, there's a third day. And in this analogy, it just helps us understand the comparison the Gemara is about to make. Each day of Pesach has kind of like a younger sibling and an older sibling, right? Any day that you have ahead of you, that'll be younger. Any day that was already well behind you, that's an older. You say Ad Penei Pesach. Rebbe Omer Asar Ad Shiagir, Rebbe Yossi Omer Ad Shietzei. So Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that until you get to Pesach, Rav Yossi says, no, until you conclude Pesach. Now, what the Gemara is thinking that right now is as follows. What's behind Shita's Rav Yossi? You get to the third day of Pesach. Now, are you facing Pesach? Right, Ad Penei. Maybe. Meaning, you sit until you're facing Pesach. Now, the truth of the matter is you already went through 3 days of Pesach. But there's another day ahead of you. So we're not sure which one you really meant. So you know what? Keep going until there are no more days of Pesach left. And Rabbi Yossi's of the opinion, Rabbi Meir's of the opinion, no. When you said Penei Pesach, you meant until you face the first day of Pesach. Yes, it's true. On the first day of Pesach, you're going to be facing the second day. And on the second day, you're going to be facing the third day. But Rabbi Meir says, come on. You only meant one of those days, and you only meant the first day. So what comes out now is we just did the opposite. Meaning, in our discussion of the two wives and all the children, so Rav Meir liked the ambiguity, was comfortable with the ambiguity, and Rav Yossi wasn't. Meanwhile, on the 7 days of Pesach, Rav Yossi is comfortable with the ambiguity, and Rav Meir is not. I'm Rabbi Chanina bar Avdimi. I'm Rav Mukhlefes Hashita. So what we're going to do is take that Mishnah Nedarim and flip it. The Gemara says Vahatanya, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, we have a Brisa supporting this idea that we're going to flip the Brisa. Zaklal Kol Shezmanu Kavua VaAmer Ad Penei. Rabbi Meir Omer Ad Shiyetze, and Rav Yosi Omer Ad Shiyagia. Wonderful. The Brisa tells us that it is Rav Meir who says every day of Pesach is potential Penei, and therefore the Ned is going to go through Pesach. And Rav Yossi says, no, you said Penei, but you only meant the first day of Pesach.
Now,
we are, the Gemara at the end of this discussion is going to turn more to what you're suggesting, that this is just a definitional issue, and it's not a question of ambiguity. Okay, but that's the end of the Gemara. We'll get there shortly. Amar Abayim Achlogu B'Shtei Kitei Banos Ava Bevas Ava Bekas Achas Divra Hakol Gedola Mamish Ketana Mamish. I know there's a machlokas at Abayi's point. I know there's a machlokas in the Mishnah where you have two sets of girls, one from the older wife, one from the younger wife, Leah's girls, Rachel's girls, but says Abayi, if you have one set of girls from one wife, there's no machlokas. You say older, you meant the oldest. You say younger, you meant the youngest. And all the middle children, they're not called younger or older. Emsa'is bishma karila. All the middle children are called by their name, but they're not given the description of older and younger. Now, Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masa L'Abayi El Me'atzah. So the Gemara challenges Abayi. If you're right, Emsa'i Shebekashnia Tishtare. Let's go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what do we have? We had two sets of girls, one from Leah and one from Rachel. Now, and let's go with the first case in the Mishnah where he said Gedola. Okay. Now, he said Gedola, I'm going to marry off one of my older girls, but he didn't say which one. So now, certainly, all the girls from all of Leah's kids are potentially older. Because remember, he married her first. So relative to Rachel's kids, they're all older. So I certainly understand how all of them could be older. But according to you, Abaye, you say that if it's one family, so then the older is referring to the oldest and the younger is referring to the youngest, and that's it, and not the middle kids. So according to you, Abaye, in our Mishnah scenario where I have two sets of wives, Leah and Rachel, again, he first married Leah, had kids, and then married Rachel, and then had kids. So consider he said the word Gedola. Now, again, on Leah's kids, they all could be older. I understand. But Rachel's kids, the oldest is certainly can be labeled older. The youngest is certainly not. But all the kids in between, according to you, Abaye, they should all be called by name and not older and younger. And therefore, they should be allowed to marry. And they should not be included in this term Gedola. According to you, Abaye, that's how it should work out. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah is not talking about a case where from Rachel he only had two girls. So therefore, you only have one of two choices. It's binary. It's either one is the older and one is the younger, and that's it. So the Gemara says, V'achinami mistabra. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. It's easier to say the Mishnah that way because the imisa deika listening. Because the truth of the matter is that if Rachel had more than two kids, the Mishnah should have said it. Meaning the Mishnah is always interested in teaching us chidushim, and that would have been a chiddush, and the Mishnah should have said it. So the Gemara says, really? Well, why didn't the Mishnah talk about from Leah having more than two girls? Having three girls, four girls, and why didn't the Mishnah talk about the middle kids of Leah? So the Gemara says, well, that let's not compare. Because Hasam, Tana Ketana Didali, Suravu Huadin, Lahach de Kashisha Mina. Look, in from Leah's kids, they're all considered older. Look, the Leah's baby is considered older. If Leah's baby is considered older, certainly anyone above her is going to be considered older as well, because again, there's Rachel and there's Rachel's kids. So they're all going to be called older, and that's not even a chiddush, meaning that's obvious. But hacha imizadika nisnei. But over here, though, if Rachel had more than just two kids, the Mishnah should have said it. And the fact that the Mishnah didn't say it is because there were only two kids. Okay. Amalei Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua LeRava Ha Pesach Dechikas Achas Dami Upligi. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Again, Abaye is making the argument that if it's one family and a bunch of kids from one family, there's no machlokas. Everyone's in agreement. The older is the oldest. The younger is the youngest, and everyone in the middle is just simply called by name. What about Pesach? Now here we go to my strange sibling analogy. But Pesach is basically seven siblings. It's the 7 days of Pesach with seven siblings, and certainly it's one family. It's not two wives producing those seven days of Pesach. So in this analogy, the 7 days of Pesach are like seven daughters coming from one wife. And meanwhile, what did we learn earlier? It's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, whether or not your words ad penei is day one, or maybe day two, or maybe day three. And according to Ayu Abaye, this shouldn't be a machlokes. Amalei hasam b'lishan da'ama kemiflegi. So the Gemara says, well, you misunderstood that machlokes in Nedarim. We all did. No fault over here. The Gemara is saying now that's not what the issue is. And Danny, now the Gemara is going to get to your point. Mar savra ad penei pesach ad kame pescha, or mar savra ad demifne pescha. It's now just a definitional issue of what does the word penei mean. Penei mean lifne, which has the word penei in it, or mifne, meaning after it passes. That's the only issue really between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi regarding Pesach. The truth of the matter is now that we're here, earlier the Gemara said Mukhlefes Hashita. We have to switch it around. Truth of the matter is, I mean, the Gemara had a brisa supporting it, so it's fine. But the truth of the matter is that we didn't really need to switch it around because the issue over here is not a question of ambiguity; it's a question of definition. Okay. We start now the next Mishnah, we're on Samech Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah over here, a strange give and take. It's a classic he said, she said. Ha'omer li'isha kidash tich. His version of the story is, I was mekadesh you. I'm sure of it. V'hi omeris lo kidashtani. And she says back to him, I literally don't know what you're talking about. You're a nice guy, but you're making up stories. It never happened. Now, I know, the operative question over here is, were there witnesses or were there no witnesses?
Supposed to have witnesses.
Yeah, right, correct, agreed. You're supposed to have witnesses at the thing, at the marriage. So were there witnesses? I know that's the operative question. Right now, let's just assume maybe there was, but right now as each one is making their claim, neither can back up their claim with any witnesses. Okay. There's what? There's
a single.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'm not disagreeing. So now what we're going to learn together today is a concept. Rashi brings it down. It's the first Rashi in the Mishnah, and that is Shavya Anav Shechaticha Di Isura. That a person can make something which is perfectly mutter to him, asur to him. Now, generally speaking, how does that work? It's called the neder, meaning that generally functions as a neder. So Shavya Nafsha Khatiha Disura, the easiest way to explain it is that really it's a function of Nadarim. Okay. Is that the only way to see it? Is that the only way to look at it? Quite frankly, no. But for our purposes right now, for the sake of brevity, it's just the easiest way to say it. It's the easiest way to understand it. A person can simply say something which is really objectively mutter to him, can make asur to him. So when the man says to this woman, I was mekadesh you, she denies it, and from her perspective, she's right. Meaning, there are no witnesses. I don't know what this guy's talking about. I'm not in on this. Never happened. But from his perspective, he says so, he believes so, and therefore, she becomes usher to him. It actually goes more than that. Not only does she become usher to him, her sister, her mother, right? Her family members become usher to him through Arayos. So in other words, in his mind, since he's married to her, so therefore this Shavya Anav Shechaticha D'Isura, this quasi-neder, will now make her to vis-a-vis him as if she was his wife, and consequently, all of her relatives are going to be usher to him. And basically, once you learn that, all the cases of the Mishnah are going to follow this basic principle. So let's see, there are four cases in total in the Mishnah. Ha'omer Lisha, I'm starting again from the beginning. Ha'omer Lisha, kidashich v'yomer lo kidashtani. The man says, I married you. She said, no, you didn't. Hu asa b'krovasev v'him utas b'krovav. He's prohibited to her relatives. She's permitted to his relatives. He omeres kidashtani. Here we're now just going to go in the opposite direction, where she talks to him. And she says, remember, I accept the kesef kedushin from you. And he says, no, that's not true. So once again, the consequence is going to be, like we said earlier, according to her, they were married. Therefore, shavyan ashachatichad isura. So therefore, his relatives will be asur to him. his relatives will be also to her. Masha ain kain, the opposite will not be true. Meaning he's denying it, therefore he will be allowed to marry any one of her relatives. Kidashicha vihi omeris lo kidasht ela biti. Here, it gets a little more interesting. He says, I married you. She said, right and wrong. Meaning, yes, he did marry, but it wasn't me. It was my daughter you married. Remember? So, who aser bekrovas gedola? Now, according to his opinion, he married her. Therefore, he's aser to, let's call her mom. He's aser to mom and to all of mom's relatives. Gedola muteris bekrovav. And the older one is permitted because she's denying that they ever got married. And who muter bekrovas ketanav, ketanav muteris bekrovav. Now, what about the daughter? Well, daughter never was compliant, meaning she didn't agree to any of this. He was the one who said he married, but he didn't claim that he married the daughter. He claimed he married mom. So he has no connection to the daughter. He's not usher to the daughter directly. Indirectly, yes, he'll be usher to the daughter because it's mom's daughter. But directly, he will not be usher to her. Neither will the daughter be usher to him because she never agreed. Kidashti is bitecha. V'hi omeres lo kidashti ela osi. And the last one, also interesting. He says, I married your daughter. And she says, right and wrong. Yes, you married, but not my daughter. You married me. So, who asa bekrovas ketana, v'ketana muteres bekrovas bekrovav, who muter bekrovas gedola, v'gedola asura bekrovav. Well, fascinatingly enough, they're both going to have an iser on them. He's going to be also to the daughter's relatives because he's claiming he married the daughter. The daughter, of course, will be perfectly fine to marry any one of his relatives because she never agreed to it. Mom, on the other hand, will be also to his family members because she's saying that they got married. Okay.
But if the mother is saying that she's married to him, why is the daughter, by being related to the mother, prohibited?
Indirectly, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. But that's an indirect iser. Meaning that when he says muteris, it means that he will be permitted to marry her relatives that are not her mom's relatives. And then the question of knowing the family tree, knowing the arayus, but it's possible to construct scenarios in which it's... You know, you'll find relatives that will be muteris to one, but not asur to the other. Okay. Now, adkan divrei ha-mishnah. So basically, the mishnah has four scenarios, but there's really one underlying principle in the entire mishnah, and that's shavi anafshei chaticha d'isura. And we start with the gemara ha-omer li'isha kidashtichu tzricha. All four cases. Why are they all needed? I need them all. I need them. Di'ash mina gabi didei mishum digavra lo ichvat le umikre amar. So the gemara over here. What a great insight. And the Gemara says, look, as far as men are concerned, men really don't care much, and they'll just talk and they'll say things. And it doesn't matter whether it's correct or whether it's not correct. So, and you take a look at Rashi over here, first white line of Rashi. Kidashiyava afa gavdalo kitcha. I'm sorry, the Rashi before that. Gabi didei, kiyama kidashicha lo mitzra ihi bekrovav mishum di'iu shikuri mishaker. Look, as far as the guy's concerned, look, a guy says things. And it's not true. Vigavralo, I'm not trying to make sweeping overgeneralizations, but this is the Gemara's explanation of why all these cases are necessary. And Rashi goes on to say, and what's the ramifications? Okay, I'm going to be also to some of your family members. Okay, fine. So in other words, that's case number one. However, let's move on. So mishum degavra lo ichba lev somewhere. Aval ihi ema ilav dekim le bedibura. But from the woman's perspective, however, she's claiming that we got married, and she takes this stuff seriously, more serious than the men do. And so, therefore, I might have thought that we shouldn't just simply let her statement only affect her. I might have thought that her statement should affect him as well. That's a havamina. So lo havet amra velitzar ihu bekrovasah. And therefore, based on her statement, I might have thought that she's going to create iser in both directions, both from her to him and from him to her. Kamash Mulan, the chiddush is no. We're not, even though, meaning the havamina may be true, but the conclusion is not true. Yes, she may take these things more seriously than he does, but still, this is all based on the principle shavya anafshe chaticha disore. Now the next case in the Mishnah is where she says, no, you didn't marry me, you married my daughter. Now, so the Gemara has a very interesting Havamina. Now again, it's a Havamina, but it's interesting. And the Gemara says, well, look, we know that the father is given full Torah credibility to say that he married off his daughter. That's what we've been discussing last couple of days. I might have thought that mom, although the Torah doesn't invest credibility in mom, maybe the Chachamim do. And maybe if mom says that the daughter got married, well, with the credibility invested by the Chachamim, maybe the daughter now is married. So v'titsa barta b'dibura. And maybe her daughter should become prohibited based on the testimony of the mom. Kamash malan. So that's the Havamina. The Chiddush is, no, we're not going to say that. Kiddushas bitach v'chule. Now the next case of the Mishnah, last case of the Mishnah, the fourth case of the Mishnah, hasulamali, why do I need that? I did the Tana. Ha Tana Namiha. So the Gemara says at that point in time, really it's just symmetry. In other words, we want the four cases to complement one another, so we like a certain poetry within the Mishnah, and therefore we have the fourth case, which is just a simple, it's a complement to the third case. Itmar. Rav Amar Kofan Shmuel Amar Mevakshin. Now, in terms of a get, Rav says you force a get, and Shmuel says you ask for a get. What are we talking about? Ahaya. The Gemara says, which case are we talking about? Ilei Mareisha, Lav Kofanika, Velo Mevakshinika. Well, if the man is just shooting off his mouth and saying, look, we're married, and the woman's like, I don't know what you're talking about, so there's no need for a get there whatsoever. From the woman's perspective, she is not married. She doesn't have to. We're not talking about any kind of get. Ella asefa. So we're talking about the second case of the Mishnah. Now, bishlam emavakshin lachai. Now, in the second case of the Mishnah, she says we got married, and he says no, we didn't. Now, from her perspective, they're married, and shavia nafshechaticha disurin. In other words, she has to now behave as if she's married. Now, what's the solution? The only solution for her is going to be getting a get. Now, she can only ask him to give a get. She can't demand a get because from his perspective, they're not married. Fine. So the Gemara says, I understand that. But Ella Kofin am I. But remember, where there was another opinion that says we forced him to give a get. Why would we do that? As far as he's concerned, they're not married. Why should he have to give her a get? Meaning, it's nice. She can ask. He can comply, but we're going to force him to give again? So, amalo nichali de itzar bekreva. And in fact, the Gemara says, look, it's to his detriment. Because if he writes her a get, that now means basically an acknowledgement that they were married. And now, with a get, he won't be able to marry any one of her relatives. So basically, it works to his detriment to write a get. So I can understand if he wants to, that's fine. But you're going to force him to write again? So Allah Shmaita Ta'adadi. Most of the Gemara says there's no machlokas over here. These two statements are complementary to one another, and this is how it works. Amr Shmuel. Mevakshin mimenu liten get. Shmuel says, we're going to ask him in a scenario where she said we're married. He said we're not. Now, her solution to go on in life and to marry somebody is to get a get. She'll ask for the get, but that's all she can do. Amarav im nasan get me atzmo kofenoso liteng suva. Ah, Rav says as follows. But let's say, without even being asked, he basically says, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to write you a get. You know what that is? That's an admission. They were married, and it's clear because without even being asked, he's writing her a get. So it's basically him acknowledging, yes, it's true, we were married. And as a result of that." Not only is he admitting that they were married, but with every marriage comes a ksuva, and he has to give her a ksuva as well. Now, the tricky part over here is that they were married only through kedushin. They were not married through nisuin. And generally speaking, we are of the opinion that the ksuva only starts and kicks in at nisuin, not at kedushin. You can take a look at the top tosus over here. It's a short tosus. It's the only tosus on the Amud, and he deals with that issue. So you could see it inside. Let me just finish up this topic. Itmar nami amarav acha bar ada amarav amrila amarav acha bar ada amarav hamnun amarav kofanum of action. So we're going to basically do the same thing again. Force the get, ask for the get. Tarte the Gemara asks incredulously, what? Both? which one? Ask or force? Let's make up our mind. Hachi kamar, but the Gemara says, but this is a pshat, and we already know the pshat. Mevakshi mimenu liten get. She'll request for the get in this scenario where she was the one who claims that they got married. She'll request for the get. V'im nasan me'atzmo kofanos liten ksuva. But if he gives the get on his own volitionally without even being asked, that's an admission that they were married, and as a result of that, he's going to have to pay her ksuva. Okay.
And what happens to her status then?
She's a divorced woman. She can't marry Cohen.
Before the get,
she's a married woman.
Not get married at all?
Huh?
She's then in a limbo.
I mean, but she was the one who created the problem. She was the one who claimed that they were married. She was the one who made the scenario of Shavi and Ashecha Techa
Disura. She becomes like an aguna because she doesn't.
But that was her doing. The problem is correct, but that was a result of what she claimed. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. We talked today about the husband's claims before he dies, claims of I have children, claims of I have a brother. Generally speaking, the rule is that he's credible to create heter, but he's not credible to create iser. We talked about the status of mali l'shak when a person does not have motivation to lie. So his credibility is bolstered. To what degree is it bolstered? Machlokas tanaim between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan, whether it's like Edom or whether it's like a chazaka. A man says, I married off one of my daughters, but he said older. Is he opening himself up to ambiguity? Rav Meir says yes. Rav Yossi says no. And then the last topic that we discussed today was Shavya Nafshe, where either the man or the woman claimed that they were married. The other partner says, we were never married. And then the result of the one who claims that they were married is going to go forward in life as if they were married based on the principle Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Diyisura. And the last thing we discussed is, if she was the one who claimed that they were married, what can she do in terms of getting a get? Request for a get, but if he admits that, if he just gives it on his own, so that is proof positive that they were in fact married, and he has to give her ksuva.